operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop.
All right, we are back better than ever. The Comic Revolution Podcast. I'm Rock. By my side, as always, is Steven. Steven, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not too bad. Did you have a good week of comic reading?
It was all right. Yeah, not
wow.
too bad.
Wow, glowing intro. Stay tuned for more in this podcast where Steven really gets excited about the comics he had to read this week.
Well, you know.
It was a big week, though, Steven. We had Black Panther came out on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely going to touch on that. We have a whole host of things to go over. But first, I want to remind people that they can go to the website, comicbookrevolution.com, for any and all reviews. We have Kevin, who is not on the podcast, but he is quite prolific when it comes to the written review. He did take umbrage, Stephen, to our, I guess what he referenced as a besmirching honey badger and X-23 in our last podcast. He did not take kindly to calling Honey Badger a clone of a clone of a Wolverine.
well, you know, Kevin, he clearly listens to the podcast. So, Kevin, I love you, but you can be wrong sometimes, buddy. I'll let you have that one.
Perfect. Okay. In addition to going to comicbookrevolution.com, check out reviews, you can also follow me on Twitter at Rock Revolution. That's R-O-K-K Revolution. And Stephen, where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter at President Glover. It's one word. I'm currently on a little hiatus, you know, Lent and all that, and mental health break for Twitter. But you can find all the relevant links to everything on there. So
fantastic.
Yeah. You can go dig through some of my old hot takes and see which one you like the best.
Nice, nice. this podcast, Stephen, we have quite the host of things to talk about. First, we're going to obviously discuss the Black Panther movie.
Yes.
We're going to discuss the sales charts for January. It just came out.
All right.
Some interesting little nuggets to be gleaned. We're also going to discuss one thing about Star Wars that I'm going to drop on you that's going to make Stephen shake his head.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And then we are going to tackle a whole host of issues. So we're going to tackle six issues in depth and then just do a bunch of little one-hitters from some extra issues that we had read, not necessarily together. Stephen read Wonder Woman, I know.
Yes.
Wonder Woman number 40.
Mm-hmm. And my issue.
Yes. Yes.
Time was not my friend this week, so I apologize.
I read Marvel 2-in-1 number 3, Old Man Logan number 35, Red Hood and the Outlaws number 19, and Weapon X number 14. Those will just be kind of real fast little reviews. Now, our normal in-depth reviews, we've got six titles, 3 from Marvel, 3 from DC, as mm-hmm. always.
Right.
Try to keep it balanced. We have Captain America number 698. We have Old Man Hawkeye number 2.
Mm-hmm.
We have X-Men Blue number 21. And from DC, we have Flash number 40,
mm-hmm.
Sideways number 1, one of the new Age of Heroes titles,
mm-hmm.
and we have Titans number 20. Let's start with Star Wars. So,
of course.
Let's start
Why
with Star
wouldn't
Wars.
We?
So, so at the news broke, of course, that they're going to be doing even more movies because they hired the guys from Game of Thrones.
Right.
So now we're going to get, I believe, 3 movies from them in addition to the 3 movies from Rian Johnson.
Yes.
So now we got 6 movies, and these 6 movies have nothing to do with the main trilogy.
Right.
You know, the Skywalkers.
After episode 9, maybe the Skywalkers are done for a little bit. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to that for a little bit, but, you know. And the Game of Thrones guys said that theirs is going to be in a very different era, so they might not even be related to the Rian Johnson ones at all.
Old Republic, maybe?
Hey, you know what? All my complaining, if they bring back Knights of the Old Republic, I will be very happy.
I could see that, couldn't
Super
you?
Super happy, yes. Absolutely. It kind of fits with their
With the Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones thing, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So, in addition to that, some other big news dropped. Now, see, we talked about a couple podcasts ago about the importance of how Disney handles Star Wars. And not just in terms of the main movies and the issues that Last Jedi's had in terms of obviously being a success, but nowhere near the success that Force Awakens.
Not successful enough.
Right. And toy sales, merchandise sales, so lagging.
Mm-hmm.
So what Disney should or should not do for this amazing franchise that, you know, should they treat it like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I don't think you really can. They're too different.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no doubt that it's becoming a huge tentpole for the Disney company.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tie in where Disney makes is going to, I believe, as movies trend downward and cable has trended downward, the parks and resorts are already almost tied with the movies.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, the parks and resorts are way past the movies. I apologize. They're almost tied with cable.
Right.
The cable.
With TV,
part, which is going to continue to decline with all the cable TV, as they're shaking that out and heading more towards streaming, I would imagine that's going to drop down because the cable fees are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I believe the parks and resorts keep going up every year. So I think that will eventually become their number one thing.
Yeah.
And as it stands now, the difference between cable TV and parks are real close. Yeah. They've announced, you know that Star Wars Land is opening up in Disney Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. They announced over the week. Now, we knew that there was going to be a Star Wars-themed hotel.
Right.
Much more than that. Oh, much more than that. They announced that this hotel is going to be fully immersive. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Disney's own words are, this is a first-of-its-kind resort, will combine luxury with complete immersion into an authentic Star Wars story. Guests' journey through space will start when everyone departs together for a multi-day Star Wars adventure by boarding a starship alive with characters and stories that unfold all around them during a voyage through the galaxy. At the resort, guests immediately become active citizens of the galaxy and can dress up in the proper attire. Every resort window will also have a view into space. The opportunity for immersion at this resort will also stand out among all Disney resorts around the globe, as it will be seamlessly connected to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disney's Hollywood Studio, allowing guests a total Star Wars experience. There's never been a resort attached, seamlessly integrated into a park. Nowhere. Not at any Disney park, not at a Universal park. The closest that they've ever had is that I guess Disney's Contemporary Resort is located smack dab next to the Magic Kingdom, and you can ride the monorail to it, but that's not seamlessly integrated, okay? It's still separate.
Right.
This is seamlessly integrated into the resort. It says multi-day adventure, which leads me to believe it's not going to be like all the other resorts where you can stay there for a week or two or however long you want to stay.
Right.
It sounds like they're going to limit it to 2-3 days maybe. And I guess because you can't have people just staying there for a week or two because the story has to have a beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
For it to really work, this kind of approach they're taking. It's kind of like one of those murder mystery interactive plays that you go to.
Right.
Put on steroids. You know what I mean? So, but what amazes me is it's groundbreaking, but it shows you how much Disney is betting on the Star Wars franchise to power them going forward in not just the movies.
Yeah.
And to do something like this, you've got to have faith that the Star Wars franchise is going to draw a lot of people to do this, because I can guarantee you this will be about $1,000 per person per night. That's just my guess. Just my guess.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very expensive.
Yes.
So
undoubtedly.
As you see them doing these amazing things with the Star Wars franchise, it really makes you realize that it's important to get the movies right, because as the movies go, so does everything else, I would imagine.
Yeah. It's an interesting little experiment they're doing here. It sounds pretty cool. I certainly can't afford it.
I was going to say $1,000. If it's, I'm guessing that's what it's going to be. It might even be more, but my guess, yeah, based on what the other resorts cost, my guess, mm-hmm, is $1,000 per person per night. That is my guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept. I'll be very intrigued to see how it turns out. I've never seen a high concept hotel resort thing like this, but yeah. I mean, hey, you let me know how it is.
Because you know I'm never going, Steven.
Yeah, I know you're
going.
I don't
care if I have to like eat ramen noodles for, I'm sorry, ramen noodles.
Ramen, yes. I was going to say.
Thinking.
He's cringing over here.
I know. If I have to eat ramen noodles for like a year to go to this, mm-hmm, I'm going to do it. Plain and simple.
All right.
I got to give it a try.
Got to go for it.
I'm going as a Sith.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprising nobody. okay, well, let's take a peek at the comic sales charts. Interestingly enough, mm-hmm, Star Wars plays a role in the comic sales charts in January.
That's right.
As that has really helped Marvel from completely sagging in the sales.
Yeah.
Let's look at the overall, the top 10. Top 10, DC's still kicking Marvel's butt.
Mm-hmm.
DC's got 6 titles.
Right.
Marvel has 3. Image has 1.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yay, Image.
Yeah, exactly. So
hanging in there.
DC still commanding, and not just that. DC had the number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4 title.
Mm.
Marvel didn't get in there until the 6th spot after Walking Dead 5. So, look, both Doomsday Clock and Dark Knight's Metal are doing well. Doomsday Clock number 3 sold 157,714 units,
mm-hmm,
or at least they ordered that many.
Yeah.
Dark Knight's Metal number 5, 149,076 units.
Mm-hmm.
So, solid numbers, not numbers like we used to get back in the day during, you know, Mark Miller's, you know, Secret War, Civil War selling, you know, 250.
We're never going to get that.
We're not going to go again. Back to that. I doubt it's going to happen. You've got in the top 25,
mm-hmm,
a little more balanced, but this is where Star Wars plays a role.
Yes.
And this is why it's so important. And it's kind of masking some of the ills, at least it did for a long time with what Axel Alonso, when he was cratering every other title, but Star Wars was propping him up.
Yeah.
In the top 25, you have 1 Image, again, Walking Dead, 12 DC, 12 Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 12 mm-hmm Marvel titles in the top 25, 3 of them are Star Wars titles. And high up in the top 25, at the number 11 spot, Star Wars 41, number 11 spot, Star Wars 41,
mm-hmm,
number 12 spot, Star Wars 42, number 13 spot, Star Wars Darth Vader, number 10. So these are high in the top 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take out Star Wars and then Marvel kind of sags down a bit, filling in the bottom part of top 25 and only having 9 titles. So, again, mm-hmm, Star Wars really, you know, it masks some ills for Marvel.
I remember a time when Star Wars was at the top 5 up at the top.
Yeah, and that's another concern for Disney is with all the movies and the declining, Last Jedi did get $1.3 billion. I feel like I have to say that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, by no means is that a bad thing.
Yeah,
but much lower than The Force Awakens.
Yes,
and now you've got a whole bunch of more movies coming, and you've had a ton of comic books, and the merchandise, the toy sales are dropping, the comic book sales are dropping.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, again, and they're investing heavily in Star Wars with their park, so it's clearly a priority for them.
Yep.
And it just makes you wonder, is Star Wars a Marvel Comics, Pixar Studios type of franchise that can really power multiple TV shows, comic books, and movies? I just don't know. It's just interesting to see.
Well, Marvel does that. Pixar doesn't really. I mean, occasionally you'll get something out of a Pixar film, but they usually just do one a year. they very rarely, well, now they're doing it more often, but they very rarely do sequels. I'm excited for The Incredibles 2. I saw that trailer was great.
It was fantastic.
It was pretty awesome, yeah. And stuff like that. So they're, you know, I think Star Wars should fit more along that lines, but I don't think they know what they're doing. I would just tell Disney, stop. Just stop, please. You're making me sick of Star Wars. I don't want to be sick of Star Wars. I love Star Wars. Stop making me sick of Star Wars. Do you hear me? I know you're listening. You're listening to everyone. Tell me. Stop, please.
I would, and please fire Kathleen Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Hire someone else to run Lucasfilm, please.
Yeah. Maybe not Kevin Feige, because he'll probably... it's all connected.
I think he's got enough on his plate. Some other interesting tidbits in the sales chart, though. You look at how some titles are doing. There are a couple of number one issues that came out that I just wanted to take a peek at.
Okay.
There was Star Wars Last Jedi DJ, centered around Benicio Del Toro's character, number one. Right. And that sold 42,427 copies, which actually isn't that bad in this day and age.
Huh.
Well, better than I would have expected.
Yeah.
The Rise of Black Panther number one came out.
Mm-hmm.
Just in time with the movie, or a little bit before the movie.
Right.
And that, not so great, 40,897 units.
Hmm.
Rogue and Gambit number one came out. It debuted at 38,657 units. It's safe to assume that one's going to drop into the 20s pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. Another number one issue that came out that we didn't review, it was Old Man Hawkeye, but we're doing number two today.
Oh, okay.
Old Man Hawkeye number one came out with pretty impressive. It was number 10 overall.
Oh, wow.
And it sold 57,454 units. Again, it tells you how... Remember back in the days when you were selling the 50s, you were like in the 40 spot?
Yeah.
Anyhow... So 57,454 units. That's pretty good for, you know, again, a character that Axel Alonso didn't think was necessary to have around and we could replace with Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
We'll get back to where Kate Bishop is selling.
Hmm?
And then another number one issue that we had was Silencer number one. We did review that.
We did review that one.
And that is one of the new age hero titles that DC's rolling out under Dan Didio's direction.
Yeah.
And it's... pretty much what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very pretty.
Man.
Number one issue sold 30,131 units. So this one will be in the teens pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to make it past 12 issues unless DC's committed to just subsidizing underperforming titles like Marvel has. I mean, historically, that wasn't done, but in this day and age, I don't know.
Well, that's unfortunate.
There you go. The other titles to look at. Oh, by the way, JLA Doom Patrol special, number one that we reviewed.
Oh, no.
About what I thought, Stephen. Yeah. 25,090 units.
Mm.
Yeah. And I would expect to see that drop pretty quickly. Or maybe it might hold because you already hit your niche audience out the box. So it might stay steady in the 20s.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, that could happen. Some other interesting ones to look at, for example, with Marvel's comics, we discussed, let's see, who's maybe not performing quite so well for Marvel that they just want to keep pushing no matter what.
Right.
Let's take a peek here. We've got Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
Miles Morales.
The adjectiveless Spider-Man.
Yes, his comic, Spider-Man number 236. It's at 26,409 copies.
Hmm.
So that's not so great, and I don't know how well it's going to do once Bendis is off the title.
Yeah, and so,
it's already selling like crap as it is. It's going to I would imagine it's going to sell even worse.
That's not aimed at a niche audience. So
no,
there's no excuses for that one.
No, I mean that was supposed to be the character that was going to replace Peter Parker, right? Not so much.
I don't think they were ever going to be that stupid. To have somebody, you know. I'm sure once his movie comes out, it'll pick up that animated one that they're doing.
Right.
Maybe.
All-new Wolverine starring X-23,
mm-hmm.
25,330 units.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's I don't know how that's got to get Marvel excited, but there it is.
Yeah.
You've got the Champions, number 16, 19,804 units. I don't know what Marvel's just, I guess, subsidizing these titles at this point. They just don't really care if they make a money. She-Hulk, number 161. We reviewed She-Hulk in the last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
16,206 copies. I mean, back in the day, I remember back in the day, you know, you got under 30,000 units and you were like, Marvel would just kick, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Miss Marvel, number 26.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think, according to, you know, if you just checked out the internet, that she's the best-selling Marvel comic book character, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
14,872 units. Again, you can't go by the internet because the internet's not representative of reality. Yeah. Never has been, never will be.
Right.
Never will be. But
I'd bet half of those people that talk about her have never read one of her comic books.
Agreed. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got, let's see, keep going down. Hawkeye. All right. We talked about old man Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10. Right. Hawkeye 14, starring Kate Bishop. 12,067 units. I just don't know what you're doing at that point.
How did Fractions Hawkeye sell when I had the two of them together? Clint Barton and Kate Bishop.
It was not a good seller.
Yeah.
It was better than 12,000 units.
Yeah. It was a great comic book.
Was a good comic. You've got the Falcon number 4, he's already down at 11,296 units. That didn't last long.
Yeah.
That did not last long at all.
Well,
so there's just Marvel's just riddled with all these all new, all different titles. They're just not getting any better. They're not going to get any better. They don't sell well. It's time for Cebulski to just pivot and
try
to build back up their readership.
Well, you ask why they keep these titles. Like, well, what else do they have if they don't have these titles?
I agree. DC's got their own as well. Some of their New 52 holdovers or New 52 style mm-hmm. titles as well.
Right.
New Superman, number 19, mm-hmm. 10,069 units. Maybe it sells really well in China, and that's why they're still making it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I mean, that's horrendous.
Yeah, it is.
So they got their own Superwoman number 18,
mm-hmm.
10,921 units. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's, I forgot on the Marvel side, Captain Marvel number 128. We reviewed that.
Oh, boy. A
couple podcasts ago.
Mm-hmm.
That this is, and judging by Marvel's promoting arm, she's the number one character they have. She's their Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yep.
Except she's not.
No.
Because Captain Marvel number 128 sold 12,201 units. Nobody cares about the character.
Mm.
They just don't. So, they can keep, Marvel can keep shoving that square peg in a round hole all they want. Just makes them look like an idiot.
Yeah. If nobody's buying it, so.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And when you look at the overall sales for the industry as a whole, again, it's just not, it's not particularly rosy.
No.
What you see, the industry itself has a lot of challenges ahead, Stephen. If you look at dollar share, again, I don't put much stock in dollar share just because your comics now routinely. I mean, just looking at the top 10, Doomsday Clock, $5. Dark Knight's Metal, $4. Batman, $3. Avengers, $5.
Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man, Venom, Inc., Omega, $5. Old Man Hawkeye. Old Man Hawkeye. Jeez. $4.
They only price something at $4. Wow, that's charging. Amazing.
The Star Wars titles, $4 a pop. So comics are so expensive
mm-hmm.
that when you look at dollar sales, of course, for January, same month, 10 years earlier, it's up mm-hmm. 12%. Well, yeah, of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the same month 20 years earlier, it's up 41%. That's how much comics have gone up in price.
Yeah.
But if you look at a more of a helpful comparison, is relatively close. If you look at January versus the same month previous year,
mm-hmm.
dollar sales, minus 10%. And I lay that on Marvel.
Yeah.
If you look at the dollar sales same month 5 years earlier, minus 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. And then you go to unit sales, and it's just even worse. Unit sales for the top 300 comics sold, if you compare January with the same month in the prior year, minus 15% unit sales. Minus 15%. That's just Marvel cratering. You look at the same month 5 years earlier, minus 11%. Same month 10 years earlier, minus 11%. Same month 20 years earlier, minus 14%. It's just, but the real alarming one is same month prior year.
Yeah.
15%.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a kick to the nuts.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The industry has been slowly dying for a long time. And DC and Marvel have, DC's New 52 and Marvel's whatever it is they're doing this year has not made it any better, because they've shed the few people that were hanging on.
Yeah.
And DC's brought some of them back, but, you know, we're just going to have to accept that that's just how it is now. The movies are popular, but nobody's buying the comic books. Yeah. Everybody knows the characters. Nobody's read them. They're going to have to figure out a way to deal with that, because I don't think the industry's ever going to come back. Not to the way it used to be.
Boy. I think you're right. If people think that, trades are going to save the day.
No.
You look at graphic novel dollar sales, the top 300 graphic novels.
Yeah.
It's comparing to January to the prior year, minus 11%. Comparing to January, the 5 years ago,
right?
Minus 28%. It's just that's not going to help you.
No. What were the top five selling graphic novels this past month?
Oh, okay. Top five. Let's see. What we got here. Whew, it's a long list. The top five would be in the number one spot: Dark Horse, Legend of Korra, Volume 2, Truff Wars.
Hmm.
Number two would be Wicked and Divine, Volume 6 from Image.
Yes.
Number three would be DC Superhero Girls Date with Disaster by DC.
Hmm.
Number four, Descender, Volume 5 from Image.
Oh,
number
five,
Kill or Be Killed by Image.
Let's see.
You look at the top 10 in the trade sales.
Right.
Okay, top 10. Image takes two, three, four, five of the top 10 spots.
That's usually where they do their best.
Dark Horse takes one,
mm-hmm.
and DC takes two,
mm-hmm.
and Marvel gets two.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see. Cebulski's got his work cut out for him, but I'm really curious to see how the sales chart looks as we head into the latter part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also interested to see how these DC New Age of Hero titles sell. I think they're going to sell. I think Silencer's kind of the canary in the coal mine on this line of comics.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they are very New 52-ish. I appreciate DC doing it this way versus ruining all the comics I love.
Yeah.
So I support DC. Don't get me wrong. I definitely support DC in this endeavor. Mm-hmm. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Don't screw with my stuff.
Yeah.
Give me the middle finger.
Pretty much.
So I like that they're doing it. I just don't think there's really much of an audience for it. Unfortunately, I think people want to buy the big name characters. And I think maybe there are some readers who are like, no, I really only want to read a comic book with someone who looks like me.
Sure.
And there may be readers like that, but I can tell you that I can only tell you what I know, okay, in my own little family. I have two boys.
Right.
They're both Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And very proud of that. So they're into their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, when they read comics, they just want to read Batman, Superman, Flash, Iron Man, Thor, the real one, Captain America, the real one, all white dudes. And newsflash, my boys don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care. They just want to read them because those are the big characters. Nobody cares about their race.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. And my boys don't, they're not like, I have to have a, if there isn't a Hispanic male superhero, I can't read the comic. Like, people just want to see the big name characters.
Yeah.
Why is James Bond so popular? Everybody likes James Bond.
He's cool.
In every continent. I don't care what race, color, or creed, or nationality you are. You like James Bond. If you're a guy and you have a pulse, you like James Bond. I'm just saying that, you know, at the end of the day, it's great that they're doing this.
Yeah.
It's cool, mm-hmm. and I support them, yeah. but at the end of the day, it's going to be the big-name characters powering it because, newsflash, yeah. people just like them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think your average American reader is a horrible racist person who has to have someone who looks just like them.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case.
Well, people know who they are.
Right.
Nobody knows who the silencer is.
Right. And it's much like, you know, Mickey Mouse is the number one Disney character, not Duffy the Bear, who nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, it's just kind of how it is, right? I mean, but you can go with IP with any kind of property.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it is. And we're in an era now where entrenched IP, I think, is even stronger and more protected and more important. And people are creating less new things than ever before.
Right. The only area you see that really take off and profit is probably in video games, because video games are not as expensive as they probably should be. So people can afford to,
Exactly.
Afford $60 is still a little bit, but you know, so that's why you have some of those newer IPs taken off. But still, there's a lot that don't succeed. People like familiar things,
they just do,
yeah.
And those characters are cool because they're cool characters,
yeah.
I mean, I don't have to tell you,
it's not to say that some of these characters don't have the potential to be cool, it's just that
sure, they have plenty of potential, it's just can it be realized?
Yeah,
in this current climate,
mm-hmm. and these Marvel and DC are not part arms of some corporation that demands money to be printed. Like Image, they can do that and be fine because that's kind of their goal. They just want people to make good, interesting comic books, and you know, if it sells, whatever. They're like a license to print money almost. If you're somebody who has a name, so but Marvel and DC, they gotta. That's just the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could try, and good on them for trying, but at least on DC for trying, you know, the right way.
Yes, yes, indeed. Steven,
yes.
Black Panther, let's get to it.
That is a movie that
let's
came out.
Let's get to it, Steven. Yes. Before we talk about Black Panther, let's talk about some of the numbers. Check this out. According to Box Office Mojo, Black mm-hmm. Panther came out.
Right.
To an estimated $75.8 million on Friday.
Woo.
And then, after that, it looks like it is on pace for its three-day opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Around the $185 million mark. And for the four-day debut, maybe around $210. That's what they're looking at.
Wow.
But Disney just can't lose, can they? Disney just can't lose.
They just roll out
one box office beast after the other, mm-hmm. don't they? I mean, they just had Last Jedi, for crying out loud, just 2 months ago.
Yep.
2 months ago, a movie that made $1.3 billion, and now they rolled this one out 2 months later.
Yep.
It's just, Disney just has one beast after the next. It's stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I do wonder how they're going to handle the acquisition of all of Fox's properties, because there's only so many days in a year, and Disney is a company that likes to maximize profitability, so you can't have two things owned by the same company going up, basically bumping into each other, so... I think it'll be a long time before you see that next Black Panther movie, kids, because we got other things we got to work on. So
So tell me the movie. Tell me how did you enjoy the movie?
I actually was very surprised at how much I enjoyed the film. I mean, I'm on record in a lot
Spoiler
of different places.
Steven's a Marvel Studios hater.
Not a Marvel Studios hater. What Kevin Feige has done, the empire pretty much he's built over there, very impressive.
Yep.
Like all applause to him. You know, he's a genius. As somebody who is not making any money off of that, I liked the first phase a lot. I thought all the films were very different. I thought they were cool and creative. After Avengers came out, I thought they started to decline a little bit as they started doing the same thing, just in a different location over and over again.
Yes.
I love the Winter Soldier. That's the one exception out of that bunch. And they didn't have the same problem that Star Wars has had with some of their directors, but there was a few, like, I will always want to see Edgar Wright's Ant-Man over the one that we got. Even though it was a fun movie. It was just like, okay, it's fun, fluffy popcorn entertainment that people ascribe too much importance to.
Yes.
So when this came out, I was a little nervous because, you know, it's first mainstream black superhero movie, and I know Blade and...
Man, Wesley Snipes is going to show up here, Steven, and punch you.
I know.
And then it's going to follow it up by Spawn materializing in the middle of this room and punching you again.
The first
97 and 98, my friend. That's when those movies came out.
Okay.
Continue.
Blade is not a superhero the way we think.
And he had a Marvel comic book.
He did.
That's a superhero. That's a Marvel superhero.
Mainstream Marvel Studios superhero. The first mainstream black superhero.
He sold more issues than Black Panther has sold since the day Jack Kirby created Black Panther. I guarantee you, if you look at all the units that Black Panther titles have sold since the day Jack Kirby created, it wouldn't even come close. It wouldn't even be a third of what Spawn has sold. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. The first black superhero that is not Blade or Spawn or Hancock or any of Will Smith's characters in any movie, because that man is not human, and Abar, the first black Superman, and Meteor Man, and all these other movies. Yes, that the first one who dresses up like a cat and fights crime, that's what we're talking about. Anyways, they had a great director. I love Ryan Coogler. I think Creed is a great movie. Certainly better than the last few Rocky films, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It was a good movie.
And had a great cast.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed what they did with it. I felt like I was watching a movie and not a product. Like somebody actually cared about what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I thought they did enough to kind of differentiate it. Like, the world is very different,
yeah.
Very Jack Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they did a great job with the villain. They actually made him a real character.
Yes.
And that was nice. I kind of understood his point of view, even if I think...
genocide's generally a bad thing.
Yeah. And I think they did a good enough job denouncing that, because yes, I was afraid for a moment. I was like, oh, are you going to let this go without addressing it? Because I'm a little nervous. But yes, they know that. The only thing that I had a problem with was I thought the third act was where it went all back to Kevin Feige saying, well, you know, it's a superhero movie. We got to have the, you know, the big fireball climax, CG slamming into CG and all that. And I was like, oh, don't do that. But I still liked the movie overall. I thought it was pretty good.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm pretty much the exact opposite of you.
Oh, fun.
I was bored out of my skull through the first half of the movie. I was drooling on myself. I was like, just oh my God, someone please do something before I pass out and choke on my own saliva. It was so slow and boring. Then they finally got to Korea.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, okay.
Yes.
Hold on. We got Claw. We got the Hobbit in there. And things are going to pick up, as JR would say on Roth. Business is about to pick up. Oh, I'm excited. And we got a fight scene and some cars. And I'm like, okay, some tech. And so really, it was the minute, I go back, the minute he walked into Q's lab. I mean, Shuri's.
Very James Bond.
Yes, Shuri's lab. Yeah. That is her name, Shuri, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
His sister, yeah.
And from that point, Ford, I was like, okay. And it got a little exciting, and it got cool technology. I like this. And then cool fight scene. Okay, I'm good. And then we went back to Wakanda. And just slow down from there. Oh, what? Oh, my God. What? The movie's still going. And it went on and just... And then finally, Killmonger starts fighting Black Panther, and the movie actually gets exciting from that point on. It actually gets exciting from that point on. And I was like, oh, my God, why am I awake again? This is actually... I'm like, you're finally going to entertain me. Mm-hmm. And we then lead Steven to the best part of the movie.
Oh, boy. Oh, the rhinos.
When that dude blows his horn, I don't remember the character, the character's name. He's Kabai, I think. Well, he's Kabi the general
or something. Yeah,
right. He's the general of all the blue, Get Out. The blue tribe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they, he blows his horn, and oh my God, giant rhinoceroses. Wait, with armor. Come charging into the scene. They whoop ass on all the female bodyguards for Black Panther. They just start bowling ball through them. And to get even better, the general then does like a flip into the air and lands on one of the armored rhinos and proceeds to ride him like a horse. Oh my God. Yes! High point of the movie. High point of the movie.
Right. Okay.
Poor Steven. He's just shaking his head. The best part, Steven, is there's this gentleman next to me. Mm-hmm. This older black gentleman is probably in his early 50s.
Okay.
That scene comes out, and he goes, what in the hell? That's when the rhino showed up, right?
Yeah.
After the horn blowing. And mm-hmm. then when the guy gets on the rhino to ride him around, the guy goes, what? You ain't riding no rhino. By the way, this guy had to be his early 50s. He was there with his son, who was probably in his, like 18, 19, 20, 21, right, in that area. And this dude obviously was not there because he's into Marvel Comics, because he didn't know squat about squat.
Right.
And proceeded to just be like, at every moment that there was anything even remotely superhero or sci-fi related, he'd be like, what the? No, that's just stupid. Through the whole movie. Mm. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
I wanted to hug the guy. I like grumpy old men. I love grumpy old men.
Oh, the audience sometimes makes it. I remember I was that guy for one of those movies, but I saw Paranormal Activity 3 in theaters opening night, and I hate those movies with a fiery passion, but this one actually had something decent going on at the end, and some actually kind of creepy stuff pops up, and the audience just goes berserk, like, ah, and screaming and all that, and I hear this one lady go, we should have seen Dolphin Tail.
We should have seen
I was dead. I was like, oh God, thank
I'd have
you.
Been on the floor. Oh, my Lord. So, yeah, sorry for that little
it's okay.
Detour I took there. But anyhow,
yeah,
so my biggest problem,
mm-hmm.
there's plenty.
Oh, I have plenty of problems with it, too.
I rank it up there with, it's like every other Marvel Studios movie. They all kind of run together in my head now at this point.
Yeah.
And I like Marvel Studios movies.
Yes,
they just
do.
All kind of just yeah, I do. I more than Steven. But they all kind of just after a while they're like, "Well, how do you rank them?" And you're like, "Eh, they all kind of rank around the same." It's hard to rank them at this point. They're all kind of like, "Yeah, it's kind of the same. Did you like the setting more? Did you like that villain more?" And then that's probably the one you rank higher. You know what I mean? My biggest problem by far was it did need to be 2 hours and 14 minutes.
Yes, I agree with
didn't.
That.
It just didn't. Mm-hmm. An hour 45. We'd set off the podcast, Steven. Yeah. No movie.
Most action
superheroes.
Movies should.
No superhero movie. Because at the end of the day, what is it? It's two men in their pajamas punching each other in the face.
Yeah.
It does not need to be more than hour 45. Ever.
They even have a line like that in the movie where the Hobbit,
his
CIA agent says that, yeah, well, I gave you Zemo. It's like, yeah, and I didn't tell the world that you run around in a cat suit.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, so it was way too long.
Yeah.
And so I thought the movie drugged too much.
Mm-hmm.
It took too long to get going. I kind of was hoping, like, We've already seen Black Panther. He was in Civil War. He was already featured heavily. We know who he is. We know what his powers are. We know about Wakanda. We know his setting. We know his backstory. We know everything there is to know. So I figured we would start this movie, boom, both feet on the ground running, and just get to it. And instead, it just... So the slowness to the movie, the length of the movie, that was my first problem.
Oh, okay.
Did you have no problem with the pacing or the time?
I think I was okay with it for a little bit because I feel like it wasn't really, and this is actually a problem I have, is it's not really about him. It's about like the country and everything going on there. And like I'm okay with that. It's just I feel like, and this is probably my biggest problem, is that there's a lot that they don't explain that they just kind of throw out there. Especially with vibranium. It's like, okay.
Yeah, they don't explain that.
Look, okay, I get vibranium is awesome, makes cool armor and shields and all that, but it can't do everything.
It can heal you from being shot with a bullet, too.
Yeah, I don't... How?
How? How does that happen? It can heal you from having your spinal cord severed.
Yeah.
How?
It's like it's like unobtainium from Avatar. It can do anything.
Exactly.
And I'm like, okay, well... I went along with it. It's like, okay, whatever. Like, how many action movies have something like this? So it's like, whatever. But, and as far as the pacing goes, I mean, I could see that being a problem. I was into it for a while, so I'm, you know, it's just, we were looking for different things. I was hoping for something a little different, and I got that. So I was happy.
My other problem with it is this. What is the title of the movie?
Oh, man, my Black Panther.
Okay, so he is the titular hero?
Yeah.
That would imply the movie's about the Black Panther,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
That would imply he's the hero?
Yes.
That would imply he's the star?
Yes.
That would imply that's the guy I'm supposed to be into?
Yes.
He's supposed to be the big hero? Supposed to get the spotlight?
Yes.
I'm supposed to think he's pretty awesome.
Wait a minute. I thought he was cool.
Here's my problem. Couple.
If you didn't see Civil War, then I could see how you could go in and see it and go, okay, he seems like a cool dude. Seems like a chill dude.
He looks like a guy I would love to have over for dinner because he would be well-mannered and pleasant and a great, great conversationalist.
Yes.
And
he seems like he'd be a good king, a level-headed person, right in there.
Here's the problem.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's a limitation by the story. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a limitation of the actor, Chadwick Boseman. I've never seen him in anything else, so I don't know. So
He could do a lot more than that.
Then it could be Natalie Portman, who's a great actress, but with George Lucas, not so much. Yeah. Then it could be that. Maybe he's a great actor, but with this particular role, this script, and that director, not so much. I don't know. But
or maybe it's the accent, because he's not African.
No.
That could have been a problem, so yeah.
He's Black Panther is so boring. The character is as vanilla as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so painfully vanilla. Like, people say Superman is white bread and vanilla. I would submit to you the Black Panther in this movie as vanilla of a character as they come. He has nothing that would ever be confused with a personality. It's just, wow, he is a beige wall. And it doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help that he is completely overshadowed by literally every other character that he is with. That.
The only person who is more... I mean, boring than he is the Hobbit.
Exactly.
Which the Hobbit is the only thought that character. Was a shame because that
he's
character
a good
is yeah, he's a great actor and that character is great in the comic books and Christopher Priest comic books.
Yes.
But
so Andy Serkis as Claw, way more charismatic and engaging.
I mean, his character is pretty much useless.
Oh, totally.
But you know, he's having a lot of fun, so you kind of enjoy it anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Eric Killmonger's character, way more engaging and interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Beyond a shadow of doubt, Okoye's
Okoye
character is I don't know what I would put it on. She's probably 1,000 times more interesting
and more badass
Black Panther.
Yeah.
And I would say that Nakia is also more interesting. Mm-hmm. I would say that Shuri's more interesting.
Yeah.
I would say that Wakabi,
yeah,
the leader of the Rhinos,
yeah,
is more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the guy who leads the gorilla tribe,
yeah,
is more interesting.
Oh, that dude was great.
He's a fantastic character.
He is awesome.
So I found literally every single other character to be a thousand times more interesting, engaging, mm-hmm, fascinating, and compelling than Black Panther.
Yeah, and I think that comes down to the only interesting things happening that with him are the things happening to him. Like, somebody presents an idea to him, and you see him do his medium stare off into the distance that he perfected in Civil War.
Yes.
And say something about that. And I think the actor does go with what he has. It's just he doesn't have a lot to deal with.
Wow.
And, I mean, I do wish that they had just called it, like, the World of Wakanda or something instead of Black Panther. Because, I mean, you are correct that everybody's wearing... You know what I think the problem was? And this is something that I've only just recently discovered after this year, is that there wasn't that No Man's Land moment from Wonder Woman for him.
Right.
That just, like... Right. That's Black Panther. He's a badass. He's got this personality thing, and he's going to go kick some ass, and that's that.
If you saw that movie and you said, okay,
yeah,
who's the biggest badass? Your immediate answer is Okoye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's not even close.
No.
I watched that movie. She is 100 times more badass than Black Panther.
Pretty much than anybody, I think, in that universe.
I mean, she stole all the action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
She eclipsed Black Panther, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close.
Mm-hmm.
That should never happen.
No.
Your title character,
yeah,
in a superhero movie should never be eclipsed by any of his supporting cast. That is fundamental writing,
yeah,
right there. I mean, this is basic superhero 101 shit right here, Steven. Mm. This isn't even complex. This is, I mean, come on. This is the most basic thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
You're the hero,
mm-hmm,
does not get eclipsed by any sidekick. I'm not saying sidekicks can't be cool or, yeah, helpful or awesome or get their moment in the spotlight,
mm-hmm,
they cannot overshadow the, mm-hmm, hero. It ruins the story. And Okoye doesn't just overshadow, she stomps all over him. She is way cooler than him.
Mm-hmm.
She's way cooler in every possible way. She's got a better personality.
Mm-hmm.
I found her much more fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
She's more badass fighting. At the end of the movie, if you said who would win in a fight, I would say Okoye would probably kick Black Panther's butt in under 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I just would.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through the movie, I thought to myself, self, why aren't I just watching an Okoye movie? Because that would be more interesting than a Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen when I'm watching a Black Panther movie. I should not have that, mm-hmm, thought.
Yeah.
You messed up. You messed up somewhere. You know what I mean? And so... While it's great to have, I appreciate they made really awesome supporting cast characters,
mm-hmm,
and they did. They made, mm-hmm, great supporting. The problem is they didn't make a good hero to go along with them, and they never gave the hero his one heroic moment. When did he ever look like, yeah, a hero, Black Panther? When did he have that heroic moment? I'm the hero. When,
yeah,
did he ever have that moment?
I mean, honestly, that's been my... Now that I've gone back over it, a lot of Marvel movies have had that problem.
Yep,
there's
they have.
No
Iron Man
moment.
Had the same problem.
Iron Man was cool. Like when he came out of the cave and started kicking ass, that was awesome.
Yes.
When Captain America fought the Winter Soldier on the highway, that was awesome.
Iron Man, yeah, 3 had that problem where,
yeah,
Tony Stark took a real backseat.
Yeah, pretty much.
Batman in the last Batman Dark Knight movie,
yeah,
where,
mm-hmm, he's not
Batman
really Batman for most of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Or, I mean, you know, at least like in Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, he had like The Dark Knight in China when he goes and he's flying over,
yes,
and he takes the guy out. That was, you know, that was really awesome. I think every superhero movie should have that moment.
Where you're like,
yeah,
this guy is the number one badass. He's the hero.
Yeah.
He's the star.
Mm-hmm.
Black Panther never got that.
No, I mean,
never
even
got that.
And even in Justice League, as flawed as that movie is, there's still Aquaman riding the,
yes,
the parademon down.
Each character got their one,
exactly,
you're a badass hero moment.
Yeah.
You,
yeah,
got to have that. And,
mm-hmm,
Black Panther never got it. So,
yeah,
again, if this movie was just entitled Wakanda,
yeah, then
I'd be like,
oh,
cool.
Yeah.
But it's, mm-hmm, I can't grade it that way. It's Black Panther. And,
yeah,
it failed. And I just,
it relies too heavily on having seen Civil War, yep. which I think is a problem with all of these movies. Mm-hmm. We're getting to that point where it's like, well, I know if you didn't see the Hulk before Thor Ragnarok,
right?
It's like, okay, so what's his deal? You know, like it works for me because I know that,
right?
But this is a movie that specifically caters to African American people, and I think a lot of those people, if they didn't know who T'Challa was coming in, they'd be a lot more fascinated by Eric Killmonger.
Yes.
And by the other characters.
Yes.
And that's been a lot of the reaction. They're talking about, you know, they throw in the long live the king because that's the hashtag, but they're not really talking about him. They're talking about everybody else.
Yes.
And I think that's very unfortunate.
It is. He's just a side character in his own movie.
Because Black Panther is an awesome character when he's written well.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it from this movie.
No.
And he's a crappy king. He allows all the lotus, the flowers that give the Black Panthers all their powers.
Mm-hmm.
They're all destroyed now.
Well,
so there could be no more Black Panthers.
That's
what the hell?
That's another thing. It's
he's like the worst king ever.
Some people. Well, that happened after Killmonger became king. So
he lost.
That is true. Yeah, he did get his ass kicked. So
come on,
that is true. I will say that. I think some people will be very confused by this. If you're not willing to go with it, Wakandan attitudes towards things are very confusing because it's very much like there's a lot of future technology and stuff, but they're also very traditional.
Yes.
And in the comics, that makes it interesting because it's like a little clash.
Yeah, agreed.
But in the movie, like when you see Eric Killmonger, who's clearly a crazy person,
yes,
take over, and everyone just falls in behind him because it's tradition.
Well, he's the king,
it's like,
so...
why? Some people aren't going to be able to get over that.
Yeah, agreed.
I was like, okay. I mean, that happened throughout history, so
it
makes
before.
Sense. But I'm like, some people are going to be like, nah, throw him out that window. Come on,
exactly. So I mean, at the end of the day, you know, just again, it's tough to grade because a lot about it I liked, mm-hmm. and I think all the supporting characters are fantastic.
Oh yeah,
but it's a Black Panther movie, and mm-hmm. his character really kind of stunk.
Yeah, I mean, like I've said before, I don't really care about the movies. I care more about the comic books. So
mm-hmm.
as long as I was entertained and they did something I thought different that I liked, then I'm willing to give a lot a pass. So, like, I had no expectations at all.
That final battle scene was pretty awesome.
Yeah, the big opening
rhinos,
the big broad, like everybody fighting each other.
Yeah,
I like that. I found the actual Black Panther versus Killmonger
fight to be
a little disappointing.
Oh, the Black Panther versus Killmonger fight was just meh. That was Again, it goes back to our point.
Yeah.
That fight should have been
that should have been his moment. Yeah,
that should have been the spotlight fight. Instead, that was just an afterthought to the much more engaging and mm-hmm. engrossing and fascinating battle with all the supporting characters.
Yeah,
that was the spotlight fight.
And then
you notice
course,
I didn't even mention the one between Black Panther and Killmonger when I was talking about the action at the end because
mm-hmm.
you don't.
No.
It's boring by comparison.
Yeah, it's and this is just something that we talked about this off the podcast, but. What like for all that build up, like the emotional build up between those two characters, like I wanted to see like some like ferociousness, like some get in there, like knock him like three ways from Sunday, that kind of fight, you know.
Killmonger killed you, Black Panther.
Yeah.
Or did his
almost
damn well
killed him, yeah.
job of nearly killing you.
Mm-hmm.
I would think you would have come at him like a madman.
Yeah. Like and that would like when they had the fight with Shuri and Okoye and the other Dora Milaje before he fought Black Panther, that was cool because she was like she was trying to kill him.
Yeah,
and I mean he got away, of course, but it's like okay, that's cool. But then they fought, and I'm just like why couldn't like the fight they had when the ritual combat like that was a much better fight scene to me
because
there was some actual like some back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got cut, it's like, oh no!
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah, I just want one day for there to be a superhero action scene like we brought up Game of Thrones earlier. That fight with the big tall lady, and she was fighting the Hound, and they lost all their swords. They just started beating the crap out of each other until she grabbed a rock, beat him in the face until he fell off a freaking cliff. That's what I want to see.
Exactly.
I didn't get that.
We did not get that.
I think the only time they've ever come close is, ironically, the one that's a joke, Deadpool, with the fight with Colossus and Gina Carano. Like, that was really cool because he was just picking her up and slamming her into things. Like, oh,
yes,
that was, yes, I want that. Please give me that, Marvel. It's, and you can do it in a PG-13. Doesn't have to be super violent. Just like feel it, you know?
I agree. Ah, how would you give a grade to Black Panther?
Out of 10? Or
yeah, give me okay. out of
10. I usually grade movies out of 5, but I let's know. Do out of 10.
Consistency, my friend.
Man, it's tough. Because there's a lot that I did like that I did appreciate. And I do want people to see this. Cause I want people to see, you know, a movie where I think the script writers and the director, they care more about the stuff that wasn't the superhero stuff. I think that's very clear.
No doubt.
Like, I thought the action, like the scene in South Korea, there's a great like tracking shot that goes throughout, and you see all the different characters kicking ass and all that, which is really cool. But I do have certain problems. But honestly, as much as I've been complaining with you about it, they are very very minor for a movie. I had no expectation for. I avoided all the hype. I did still like it a lot, so I'm gonna give it an 8. Very rare for a Marvel film.
Nice.
So yeah,
I will say definitely worth going to check out.
Yeah.
I definitely don't skip the movie. It's not like DC comic movie bad. Okay, we're not talking. You know,
we're not talking about Suicide Squad.
We're not talking Suicide Squad, no. Man of Steel, or
Batman versus Superman.
Batman versus Superman, or it's also better than Justice League.
Yeah.
So
even though I thought Justice League was more fun.
Oh, Justice League was more fun. Yeah. I totally agree. But and actually understood the superhero genre much better.
Yeah.
But this is probably better made.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
I'll give it six Nichols out of 10, only because it's not called Wakanda. It's called Black Panther.
Yeah.
And I just can't get past that.
Yeah.
Just can't get past that.
It's just personal things, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's no problem with that.
The supporting characters are wonderful, and if he had called it Wakanda, and I would have given this an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, there you go.
What can I say?
It happens. It's all right.
And plus, I want the movie to make a lot of money because, you know, I need Disney to spend more money on Disney World, where I like to vacation all the time, because I want new rides, and new rides.
He wants a Wakanda.
Ooh, yeah, we need one. A roller coaster through the mountain of Wakanda. That would be awesome.
It actually would be pretty cool. I'm not going to lie about that.
Ooh, we could retheme the rock and roll roller coaster at Disney Studios as the Wakanda roller coaster. I'm down with that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You're okay with that?
Go see the movie. Yeah. Make it. I mean, it's going to make all the money anyway, and it's a social statement. Money. So of course it's going to make the money.
It's going to make ridiculous.
So
money.
Yeah. I will say one last thing for all the hype and stuff about the social justice stuff that was about it. That's not in the movie.
I didn't see it.
Not really. No. I mean, it's the best thing that it could have ever done was just make a movie with a black character and not made it all about that.
No, and it's a good moral theme. Don't kill people.
Exactly.
I think that's something we can all get behind. Don't kill each other.
I certainly hope so.
Let's not kill each other.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty much what he said at the end of the movie. We're all one big happy family. Yep. We got to live together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not kill each other.
Exactly.
I can get with that. All right, Steven. All right, that concludes part one of the Comic Book Revolution podcast. Check back in for part two, where we tackle the various comic books from Marvel and DC.